Ephesians chapter number 6, and let's stand and we'll read a couple verses here to give you a chance to stretch your legs. And Ephesians chapter 6, let's start at verse 10. We're going to read three verses. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." We could read this together, couldn't we? Let's start over verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Father, thank you for your word tonight. I pray as we look into these truths that you would speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. Ephesians chapter 6, if you are not familiar with this, the book of Ephesians was written to a church that was started in the city of Ephesus. Just to give you a touch of background, Ephesus was the home of one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, which was this goddess Artemis, also known as the goddess Diana. You'll find her name written about in the book of Acts. And there was a lot of pagan worship there. It was this big, adulterous-like occult thing. And so they had this massive temple built to her. And she was this vile-looking thing with all these. It was a nasty-looking idol, but it was massive. And so they had a lot of pagan religion going on, Artemis, and they also had the a goddess named Bacchus. He was the god of wine, and so drunkenness, drug use, as well as pagan, really demonic worship was massive in this area. There was a lot of, it would have been hard to be a Christian, I would say, in that environment. So this was a very godless city. It was known as the bank of that ancient part of the world, but anyway, outside of the history of that, Paul is writing to this church, and he begins to talk to them about dealing with spiritual warfare, dealing with spiritual attack. Who here has ever been under some kind of spiritual attack, and you've felt oppressed by that? You felt something. I've dealt with that. I had my daughter when she was like 5 or 6 years old. I don't know, probably maybe a couple years older than that, maybe 7 or 8. And we don't watch when I was little, I watched scary shows, man. Like you'd watch a show like It or something, you ain't gonna sleep for 3 weeks. I don't know how that got on TV for us when we was like 5 years old, but it did. Chucky and Child's Ball, all that nasty stuff. My kids don't watch that stuff, right? We sleep good. And so she started having, like, she said, "Dad, I got this voice in my head and all this terrible, like, evil stuff about dying and all this crazy stuff." And she just started getting, like, this spiritual attack. And man, I went in her room and after it happened a few times and just prayed and asked God to protect the place, let that evil move away and just really claim victory. And man, I'm telling you, it left and it's never come back. And I've talked to other pastors who've dealt with the exact same thing. I don't know if you guys remember Duke Hurgit, who came, the hippie evangelist who came out of drugs. Now he's a preacher. And he said he's had to do that through the years. He said at least 3 times with his own kids. He said that same exact thing has gone on. I've dealt with that in my life. Spiritual attack, just oppression, and it gets really, really intense. And so to gain victory over a spiritual enemy, what do you believe you need? What's a person need? And so I want to look tonight at the reality of spiritual warfare in our lives and how to overcome that. And this is going to be at least a couple weeks. We'll be looking through some different truths out of Ephesians 6. Listen to what, and some people will ask this, what does spiritual warfare have to do with drug addiction? Well, listen to Galatians 5:19. The Bible says this in Galatians 5:19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest," that word just means made known, "which are these." And so how do you know you're living in the flesh? There's two things you can live in, the spirit or the flesh. So the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. The first is adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Those four words all have to do with sexual sin. So if you look at America, is America messed up in sexual sin? They, in one city, I don't know if anybody saw this, but in one city, they went on and did like online prostitution. And in 1 week, in one county, they caught like 235 or so different people, including sergeants in the jail. And the own jail that put this on caught people from council members. They caught teachers and, I mean, people from all over. They 235 arrests in 1 week. It was unbelievable. We are living in a very perverse nation and just so much sexual sin. That's the first thing. And then it says idolatry in verse 20. And the next word is witchcraft. Witchcraft. The word witchcraft there, it means sorcery. And it comes from a Greek word, pharmakia, and it's where we get our English word pharmacy. And it refers to medicine in general, but eventually it referred in that time to mood and mind-altering drugs, as well as occult. And so what they did was they believed that the way you commune, and if you went into a pagan religion in Ephesus, they believed that you had to get intoxicated. And through that process, that you could commune with the gods by having these out-of-mind, out-of-body-filling experiences. And if you, you said the word earlier, that mind-altering ability that drugs do, they affect our minds, don't they? And most people get on drugs because they want to ease the mental agony that they're going through, so they try to find something, either legally or ends up being illegally, to calm down that strain that goes on the inside. So that's what witchcraft is dealing with, and it's a spiritual thing. And so it's not just a chemical, it also has to do with demonic activity. Witchcraft is dealing with demonic activity, with mind-altering things. And so let's look at Ephesians 6, verse number 10. This is what he says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of sin. Is that what he says?
No.
The wiles of who? The devil. So the Bible tells us that we have to put on the armor because we have to deal with the wiles. And that word wiles we'll look at in just a moment, but it's talking about attacks from the devil. The Bible calls the devil an accuser, a slanderer in verse 11. Verse 16 calls him the wicked or the wicked one. Remember, Satan came to tempt Jesus right after Jesus got baptized. Satan attacked Adam and Eve right after they were brought together in Genesis 2. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 calls him a roaring lion seeking whom he will devour. All through the Bible, he is very, very active, and he has a real army. Verse number 12 says this. Notice very closely, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So the battle, he's saying, is not a physical battle. It's not a physical battle. He says, we wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. If you're a military guy, and I could have Steve stand up, and he could go through the Air Force and all the rankings and lay those out. Also, Paul could do the same thing. You guys could list off the different commanding officers. These guys know those areas. And so what you just read in verse number 12 is the classification of different rankings inside of the demonic arena. What Satan has is a force that is organized in a systematic way to bring forth his havoc upon this world. And the Bible says we're not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting this spiritual enemy. Paul describes this ranking. And so the Apostle John hinted that when Satan fell, one third of the angels fell with him. And the Bible, I believe, teaches that demons are fallen angels. It says in Revelation 12:4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars, and the stars are referring to angels of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman. And it talks about this. And so how many angels are there if he took a third of them? Revelation 5:11 says, and I heard a voice of angels round about the throne and the beast of the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. It's literally in the Greek myriads of myriads. It's like innumerable. It's saying the number of angels, John said in Revelation, he saw was beyond number. So when Satan took a third of them, it's just there was this massive amount of demons, that the angels that fell and are now demons. Do you remember when Jesus, the maniac of Gadara, Jesus cast out how many demons out of that guy and went into those pigs?
2,000.
There was 2,000 in one guy. And so this guy, when he had those demons in him, he was able to break chains. He cut himself. He stripped his clothes off. He acted crazy. Do you know they have a drug called Fleca down in Florida? It really blew up a few years ago. People were doing the same thing. They took the drug. They stripped their clothes off. They had this superhuman strength. There were guys that were in officers trying to tase these guys, and some of them it takes several. They couldn't drop them, man. They just could walk through stuff. There's people in China doing the same thing, just acting like an animal. It turns you into an animal. And so just understand, when you get into drugs, it's not just a physical thing. It's not just physical stuff that we're battling with. There is a spiritual arena to that. And so often believers live spiritually defeated lives because they don't realize the battle that they are in. Verse 12, Paul says that we don't wrestle flesh and blood. It's principalities. It's a spiritual. The battle we face is against sin. It's a spiritual enemy. Let me ask this. Can you defeat a spiritual enemy with fleshly power? Can we overcome? If this is a real spiritual attack, can I overcome it with physical abilities? And the answer is no. And so again, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Let me just say this. I've ministered to people for a few years now in my life, and it's heartbreaking sometimes, and you guys see it, but when you see just Satan picks people off, he'll just pick them off. And you know how he picks them off? Because they believe something that's not true. He starts by attacking our thinking so often. Well, they'll say something like, hey, why aren't you living for God anymore? Why aren't you reading the Bible? Why aren't you following? Well, they'll say something that you know Jesus didn't put that in their heart. God didn't give that to them. And if God didn't give that to them, it was either self-deception or satanic deception. And since we don't wrestle flesh and blood, it's probably spiritual deception. And that happens. Now, verse 11 says, wiles of the devil and not wile. The Greek word translated wiles is the word methodia in the Greek, which gives us the English word method. And it means craftiness, cunning, deception, trickery. And so Satan is very crafty, cunning, and deceptive. You ever been deceived and you didn't know you were deceived? Yeah. You ever have somebody do a trick on you and you're like, man, you know, or you thought something and it wasn't true? If you think human beings can be crafty, you ever seen those guys on TV, man, they can do card tricks and stuff and completely do things. It's like, how on earth? There's no way they could pull that off, and they do it. If people can deceive people, how much more do you think Satan can deceive us? The only way you avoid deception, the only way is with truth. The only thing we have is the light to be born upon deception. Listen, Satan deceived Peter, and Peter didn't know it. And remember what Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, when he said that to Peter? Peter was deceived. He didn't know he was deceived. And so verse 12 says, we wrestle against these principalities. We wrestle this spiritual fight. And that word wrestle comes from a word that means to take your opponent, put him on his back, and choke him out. And that's what we're fighting against, man. This is a real, real struggle. Now, verse 16, if you notice, look at verse 16. It says this, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, or the wicked one, talking about Satan. And so if you take faith, it says that you can, and it talks about fiery darts, like multiple ones. So it's wiles of the devil, many of those attacks, darts. There's many fiery darts that come against us. And what he's trying to tell us is we are under spiritual attack all the time. It's all the time. Like your family, my family, your mind, my mind, our homes, our lives are going to be under attack. And again, when God brought Eve to Adam, he brought that marriage. It says that they became one flesh at the end of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 says, and the serpent was more subtle and more crafty, in other words, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Satan shows up on the scene the next verse. And when Jesus Christ was baptized, the next verse, Satan comes on the scene and brings attack against him. This is what he does, and we have to understand that. Did Satan ever try to get any of the disciples to fall? In Luke 22:31, this is what Jesus said to Simon Peter. He said in Luke 22:31, he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. If Jesus were here tonight and he looked at you and said, I have firsthand understanding that Satan wants to sift your life as wheat, would that change what you did tonight? Would you wake up in the morning and be like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to read the Bible. I don't think I'm going to pray. I don't think I'm going to seek God. I'm not going to seek Him. Would you isolate yourself, or would you get around people that can give you some wise counsel? We would do that, wouldn't we? And so in our life, listen, so many people can isolate themselves, and they get away from the heat of the body, and they fall, man, and it's heartbreaking. And so Luke 22:31 and then John 13:26-7, Jesus talks about how Satan entered into Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot followed Jesus for 3 years, and Satan got a hold of his life. So I say all that just to set the foundation that we are under spiritual attack. That is a reality. That is a reality. You can be living for Jesus and be assaulted by the enemy, but you won't be defeated if you do these things. And I want to talk about how can we have victory. And I'm going to talk about this for a couple of weeks, but I just want to lay the foundation tonight for this. How do we have victory? And the victory comes from this. The first step tonight, and I think this group tonight, we understand this, and as I go through, I think we'll all understand it even more. But victory comes by realizing where our strength comes from. I have to understand where our strength comes from. When you go back to verse 10 after he lays all this stuff, because sometimes you start thinking, man, if I'm under spiritual attack, that's kind of scary. And we're like, man, you know, and you know what the Bible says in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, I want to conclude with this, he says, be strong in the what? And the Lord, and the power of His might. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And so for Christians to have victory over the enemy, I mean, who do you and I have to rely on? If I don't rely on the Lord, question, who am I relying on? If I were to follow you this week, would it reflect that in your challenges, or even in my challenges, did it show, did your life, did my life, did it show that we were relying on the Lord? And what are things that you do that would evidence that you really rely on the Lord's strength? What's something a person could do? Prayer? Reading the Bible? Going to church? Talking to your mentor? Keep them rolling. That's good.
Listening to my wife.
Yes.
Number one is.
Hey, anybody, you guys, this will resonate. Watch. Who's ever not read and prayed in the morning, and by noon, by 2, by 4, you realize, man, I feel it. Feel it. You feel that, like, man, I just feel off. Attitude's off. Getting